Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Easy Conversations podcast, the podcast about having easy conversations, where we talk about mental health, adversity, spirituality, and societal issues. I'm your host, Furkan Dandia. And join me in this deeply transformative episode of the podcast as we delve into the profound process of healing the inner child and unleashing our untapped potential for growth and happiness. Join me on this empowering exploration of self-discovery and self-healing as we equip you with the tools and insights needed to nurture your wounded inner child and foster lasting emotional well-being. In this enlightening discussion, my guest, Ashley Abramson, shares her wisdom and practical guidance on understanding the significance of the inner child in shaping our adult lives. Learn how unaddressed childhood traumas and emotional wounds can hinder personal growth and prevent us from living fulfilling lives. Unlock the power of emotional transformation through various healing techniques and mindfulness practices, which will help you reconnect with your inner child and provide the nurturing it needs to thrive. We'll explore the importance of self-awareness, self-acceptance, and self-empowerment in this healing process, and how these pivotal elements can lead to lasting emotional resilience. Ashley is a solution-focused self-love mentor, trauma coach, and social worker gone rogue. Her mission is to bring the Jesus Revolution reloaded, not a revolution at the level of form, but rather a reclaiming of the mind. She is also a three-time international best-selling Amazon author and the captain of BME, which is Big Miracle Energy, an empowering community where judgment is left behind, and you're invited to embark on a transformative journey. Ashley works with women who can't stand the thought of another vanilla talk therapy session. She creates a space for their egos to feel safe and get to the root cause for why they feel stuck in life. Her method, the unicorn effect, works to peel back the layers of societal conditioning, programming, and trauma so that they can experience a whole new level of self-love. And no, she doesn't mean Wine Wednesdays and bubble baths. She teaches her clients how to connect with themselves in the purest form where true, authentic self-love is born and figure out who you really are. Using her social work background and her expertise on the impact of childhood traumas, she began supporting women to heal the innermost parts of themselves and say goodbye to another Myers-Briggs test. She guides women on their journey to clear out the noise that has been running their life and holding them back from their answers within. You can find Ashley on her website, bigmiracleenergy.com, and other ways that are available in the show notes. But please find Ashley and also leave a 5-star review or comments in the comment section. I would truly appreciate it. All right, Ashley, welcome to the Easy Conversations podcast. Thank you for joining me today. I'm super excited to have you on and grateful that you're taking the time to join me today. But before we get started, I want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to the listeners and let us know a little bit about what it is that you do.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much for having me today. I'm super excited to just have a wonderful conversation with you. So my name is Ashley Abramson. Like you said, I am an inner child guide, self-love mentor, and social worker gone rogue. Essentially, I work with people to clear out all the crap, the noise, the societal programming that's getting in their way from really hearing their answers within. And a lot of that is through healing that inner child and reconnecting. I also recently launched a membership program through Patreon, and that's for the people that just are searching for truth. And continuously getting curious in a safe space. So yeah, I'm super excited to be here.
Oh, great, great. Thank you for sharing that. So one of the things that jumps out right away for me is we constantly hear this term inner child, right? And that can often be confusing and it's not necessarily obvious what that means. Do you mind expanding on that in terms of what work you do and how you interpret your inner child is?
Yeah. So I almost see it as like the closest access to your highest self. When you came this lifetime, it was the closest you ever were to accessing, you know, God, divine, whatever you may say. And it's the part of us that really was the start of the narratives, the start of what society taught us to become. When we were a child, we were just pure and curious and had this. I mean, think of a child learning to walk, right? Mm-hmm. They never, and they fall thousands of times and they never give up. They just keep going. Well, a big piece of that is because they don't have any narratives yet. They haven't been told how to act in society. They haven't been let down. They haven't really faced failure, right? Mm-hmm. They see failure as opportunity to try again. So I see that inner child is us going back and healing the one piece of us that is the closest to our highest self and sometimes can be seen as our highest self, but it's the keeper of the answers and understanding of why we operate the way we do today. Because let's face it, this world is not set up for a child, right?
Yeah.
Well, and the second you are born, you are beginning training to become an adult, right? We immediately want you to become potty trained, learn how to eat, you know, all those things. So like the second you come out of the womb, your training to become an adult starts.
Right.
But the problem is you're immediately thrown into this adult world that you don't really fit into. I think it's Plato. And I'm really bad at quoting people. So if I'm wrong, please share that this is different. But he says we spend half of our life learning to become an adult and the other half relearning to become a child. And I think that is so true. So getting back to that inner child within and just really understanding, rebonding, bringing that child back into your reality today is so important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so many things you touched on that resonated for me. I think the biggest piece there is going back to that childlike self of curiosity, joy, and unconditional love, right? And I think to your point, as you mentioned, we often get these narratives that often create that veil that's preventing us to be able to experience that full unconditional love. And we end up cloaking ourselves in a way throughout life. Now, one of the things I find fascinating for obvious reasons, but often people need to go through that journey themselves to be able to articulate it for others. What was it like for you and how were you able to realize that maybe you also had been programmed to a certain extent and what that journey looked like to finding yourself?
Yeah, so I was definitely a very curious child. I was very loud and energetic. And I remember, I think every single report card I had through elementary and middle school said talks too much on it. So I always had that personality, but it was really hard for those around me to handle that. So I learned as I got older, right? Like on my report card, that was a bad thing. That wasn't in the positives. Ashley talks a lot. It was Ashley talks too much. So over time, I learned like, if I want to operate in this society, that's not how I can show up if I want to be accepted and fit in, right? Not stick out like a sore thumb. And my father, he had this love for life and zest and just innate funness within him that was so beautiful. And I resonated so much with him. But as I got older, society was like, hey, he's got mental illness. He's childlike. He's immature. And I was like, oh, crap. Like, I'm like him. Yeah. I need to not be like that because I see what happens. And he eventually committed suicide. And that was really the time I sealed the deal and was like, okay, I got to be something completely different. I can't be loud. I can't be curious. People would constantly be like, quit questioning me. But in reality, I was actually coming from like a 2-year-old state of just being curious. But when you numerologically look older, it seems like an attack to others, right? They think you're questioning them. because you're bringing up things within them they're not secure with. So I really, I was working with other people in their inner child far before I really started working on my own. I was in child protection and I was trained by leading experts in the world on trauma and how your childhood impacts you in adulthood, essentially inner child work. Because really when we would work with a family, say they were abusing their child, well, they most likely at one time were a victim, right? So it's not like they just woke up one day and they're like, I'm gonna beat the crap out of my kid. This is because that's what they had experienced as a child. So it was really working with that adult as well as working with the child and trying to do the best you can to circumvent that happening to them later in life and becoming an abuser themselves. And then my divorce happened. And that's the moment I realized that all of my happiness was created externally. I was the happiest, healthiest, emotionally, physically, and mentally I thought I had ever been until my divorce was like a slap in the face, a realization that all of that was external. It was, you know, the status I had, the career I had, being a mom, having the house, having the car, everything outside of me. And then it was being taken from me.
Right.
And I just self-destructed. And then some things happened at work and I was forced to do what was called reflective supervision. And essentially, this woman saw me for who I truly was, and not even the woman that I was before I got divorced, but she saw me as the child. I used to be the curious, exuberant, just love for life. And she held the light for me and allowed me to do the exploration without judgment. And, you know, I would come into her office and I'd be like, I did this past week, and it was something super shameful. And she'd be like, okay. All right, well, what are we going to do different next week?
Yeah.
And it just provided this safe space. And that has been the most impactful for me. I mean, prior to my divorce, like I said, I thought I was the happiest, healthiest I'd ever been. But it was mindset work. And I know it's such the buzz right now is mindset work. And mindset work is great band-aids.
Yeah.
But I promise you, when something major in life happens and all you have done is mindset work, it will not sustain because it's just a band-aid. And when you make a gashing wound, we know a band-aid doesn't work, right? You got to get stitches. You got to go in there and you got to fix it. So I see mindset work as like the icing on the cake, the discipline required to be able to choose love over fear. But you can't even get to the state of being able to acknowledge love over fear until you've gone back and you've done that deep healing. And that's where I was at.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you for sharing all of that. Definitely lots to explore. And to your point, I think the band-aids won't work unless we build in healthy habits into our life. And often that requires really reparenting ourselves from an emotional, physical, and almost even spiritual perspective. And all of those are equally important. And the reason why I say the reparenting side, because a lot of the times we, going back to the whole inner child healing as children, when we're dependent on our caregivers, we're often seeking that attachment and attunement. And even the slightest disruption can cause our inability to express ourselves emotionally. So then we end up suppressing our emotions or hide them in fear of judgment. And that carries into our adult life. And that's why reparenting is so important as part of this process. But then there's this other aspect of not being able to really deal with heavy emotions. And as you mentioned, something that you experienced perhaps with your father's suicide, like how were you able to deal with that? Or because you didn't have the tools at the time, did you struggle to face the emotions face on and almost swept them under the rug?
Yeah. So at that time when he had committed suicide, interesting enough, 6 months prior to him being successful, I had an unsuccessful attempt on my own life. And it was very close to being successful. They read me my last rites. I wasn't supposed to make it through the night. And doctors say it's a miracle. They can't explain it by medicine. So I had already started to, I was in therapy, being diagnosed with bipolar, placed on all these medications. But one of the things was that the professionals in my life not only told me that I would never get a degree, I would never hold down a career, but they also told me to cut off ties with my father because he was unhealthy and unstable in his own mental health, according to them. So that was 6 months prior to him committing suicide. And I listened, right? Because they were the adults in my life. And I remember feeling in my gut that that wasn't a good idea, but I did it anyway. So when he committed suicide, I had a deeper level understanding because I had been there 6 months prior, right? I understood what it felt like to not want to be here anymore. I empathized with where he was at in life, but the shame and guilt that was created within myself was immense. And it took me a long time to forgive not only the institution that told me to stop talking to him, to forgive him, to forgive my stepmom. Because when suicide occurs, we want to blame, right? We want answers. So it's like a blame game. It's like pointing fingers, like you pissed him off last week. You were divorcing him. You didn't lend him money. You weren't seeing him. You know, it's just I did not realize. They talk about death and divorce are the two main things that you'll see people's true colors. Right? I've experienced both. And I will tell you that statement is 1,000,000% accurate. And I saw sides of family members and friends in my life. This was divorce and the death that I never thought was possible. But I also saw them in myself. So it was very difficult, a lot of shame and guilt. And I will say, I carried that for many years. I wrote a chapter in a book, about a year and a half ago, and I had done a lot of healing around my father, around my grandfather. The men in my life tend to leave me, right? So that was my narrative. And I wrote the book. That was a level of healing, or the chapter. And it was a chapter to my father. I decided, like, I'm doing this chapter in this book for me and my healing, and hopefully it helps other people, but the true purpose was just my healing. So it was kind of like a final letter to my father, and it was called Earthly Hugs and Soul Kisses. And it was all about my perception of our journey together here on Earth, and then now what our journey had looked like since his suicide. And how I turned our mess into my message, how I turned his and my pain into my purpose. But then I read it after it was published, and that was another level of healing. And then I read it out loud. And it was another level of healing. So that has been a huge part of my healing process. And I want to comment on something you said earlier. And I used to really believe this, the reparenting of ourselves. And I've come recently to a different understanding. Not that we're not reparenting, but we just need to parent. So I truly believe that though I'm 39 years old, I'm just an overgrown, unsupervised child, right? And now I'm responsible for all the things that other people used to be responsible. I've got to feed myself. I've got to love myself. I've got to heal myself. I've got to provide clothing and shelter for myself, right? So I used to think it was about going back and really reparenting those times. But the interesting thing is those times still show up today.
Right.
Right. So it's more about my clients come to me and they're like, okay, I want to address this instance that happened in my childhood. I know it was super impactful. And I always say, we're not gonna. We are going to address what is coming up today in your lack of parenting yourself today, right? Like coming from a place of love, self-worth, making choices that align with your values, beliefs. That's parenting.
Right.
And in turn, they are so amazed at how that actually impacted what they had wanted to focus on in the past. But the reality is you don't have to go back there. It's showing up today, I promise you. And if we just address today and in this moment, it will heal those things that need to be healed in the past.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And you're so correct, because because it was never modeled for us, we tend to just inherit that and then continue to repeat it even as adults. And to your point, those things continue to show up, and it's being able to have that self-acceptance, the curiosity, the understanding that perhaps we didn't get when we were children, but there's nothing stopping you from changing it today and giving it to yourself. And I think that's where a lot of people get lost, is they just don't know how to do it or don't want to do it for whatever reason. And that continues to repeat itself. So perhaps just focusing on that emotional aspect of parenting that we can do for ourselves and heal, as you mentioned, what are some other things that you focus on for yourself or even with your clients? Like, I know I touched on that whole aspect of self-acceptance, understanding, curiosity. And then there's often guilt that comes up, right? Because it's difficult. We are so focused on the emotions of others, often, especially as children, that when we stand up for ourselves or we choose something for ourselves based on our gut feel, there is that aspect of guilt that comes in. And guilt is a good source of information, but once we follow it, that's when it becomes problematic.
Yeah. So I always have called guilt the gift that keeps on giving, and not the good gift, right? Yeah. Not the good gift that keeps on giving. Guilt and shame will cloud your life forever. Mm-hmm. And for me, what I have found, and I always used to call it healing. So we got to heal. We got to heal our inner child. We got to heal. Until I realized what we were actually doing. We're forgiving. It's actually just as simple as forgiveness. And when I say forgiveness, I mean forgiveness at the level of the mind. So yeah, sometimes we start out at ego level forgiveness, which is you hurt me, but I forgive you. But at the level of the mind is a realization that this is an illusion and we're dreaming and it never really happened. It's like if something happened last night in your dream, right? Like let's say someone ran over your dog in your dream last night, your best friend. You wake up this morning and you have these like emotions of like anger and irritation and sadness, but you check yourself. You're like, what's that about? And they're like, oh, I dreamt this last night. And within that second right there, all of the shame, guilt, weight is released because you realize it never happened. Mm-hmm. So that's really been my focus in me, in my journey now, is really that next level of forgiveness, true forgiveness at the level of the mind. And realizing none of this has really ever happened, and everything is just a projection of my mind, of the mind, right? So when I show up somewhere and someone pisses me off, it's a projection of my own internal dialogue. Right. And if I change the dialogue through forgiveness, forgiving, so I used to say healing, right? Through healing, but actually forgiving what that is that person is triggering within. Guess what? Next time I show up and they do the same exact thing, I will not be triggered. I will not feel it the same because it has nothing to do with them and their actions and everything to do with what's going on inside here.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. Now, there is an aspect of being able to, like, there's that also the physical aspect, right? We often don't parent ourselves appropriately on a physical level either, right? Whether that's getting proper sleep, proper nourishment, just taking care of ourselves. Are those areas you also focus on with yourself and your clients?
Yeah. So I'm a firm, and I brought this up earlier, believer, that discipline is necessary because in the moment to choose love over fear is really hard. Fear is like the shiny, chaotic thing that's going to distract you and get your attention first. Love is the quiet truth that isn't going to come fighting for you to pay attention. So you really have to have that discipline within your mind in the moment to choose love over fear. Well, when your mind is disciplined, then these external things start to show that, right? It feels like it's happening at the same time, but it's really not. It's happening in the mind and immediately being projected out. So when it comes to that parenting piece, when you've really set that intention of I want to parent myself better, you realize that your projection starts to match that, right? Like you may not intentionally, consciously be like, okay, I'm going to get more sleep, but it starts to occur. So I'm just a firm believer that if we just focus on the mind, healing at the mind, everything else that's projected out will represent that healing within the mind, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. But I think there's an aspect of conscious decision-making too, right? Like I think a lot of the times, because we haven't had that training or parenting early on, we're just used to people-pleasing and doing things that, because there's that often that fear of rejection, right? So if I don't follow the group or if I say no to someone, there's that fear of rejection. So I think that's where a lot of, at least what I see with people, they struggle to be disciplined in that area and being able to say no to the things that don't serve them and yes to the things that do. And a lot of the times that comes at the compromise of sleep or making proper choices for your own physical health. So I agree with you. There's that aspect of the mind, but then there's also being consciously aware of the things that you're letting into your life and some of the choices you're making, which I think is crucially important as part of that healing and being uber focused on those things as well. At least that's been my experience.
Yeah. And I think we're saying the same thing just differently, but what I hear you saying and where it resonates with me is intentional awareness, right?
Yeah.
And I truly believe like, okay, so for example, after my divorce, I was going to the bar every night, I was taking random men home, very lack of worth external behaviors, right? But because my narrative inside was that I was not worthy, that's what you were seeing externally. And as I did the healing within, did those behaviors still sometimes happen? Yeah, in the process they did, but they happened less and less, but only because I healed within. So I'm a firm believer that fake it till you make it is junk. That's just me. I don't agree. I believe you already are that. So why would you ever need to fake it, right? You're just choosing to step into that version of yourself. Right. But also, I believe that it is unhelpful to go make yourself make decisions just externally, right? So say I didn't do any internal work, but I was like, okay, you can no longer go to the bar and you can no longer take people home.
Yeah.
Right? And just change the external. That I would have found something else, right? It needed a place to be expressed. And that was the really cool thing about the mentor I worked with, was she never said, stop doing this. She never came from a place of sacrifice. And that is what I always, where I always take the stance with my clients. There is no such thing as sacrifice. There is only choices, right? And you will make choices based on your internal narrative. But there is no such thing as sacrifice. Just like I believe there's no such thing as a limiting belief, because literally every belief is limiting. So why are we immediately putting these negative connotations to make us feel a certain way when in reality, that's not truth?
Right.
So yeah, that I think we're saying the same thing. Like it will start, it's intentional awareness. You need to be aware of how it is showing up projected, because I call those flashlight opportunities, right? So when you're intentionally aware of how you're showing up out in the world, that gives us an opportunity to see areas that are actually requesting our assistance within.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's becoming aware of why you're making those choices too, right? Really digging deep as part of that healing. Like sometimes, and as you mentioned in your own examples, I think there's an aspect of self-worth that we're outsourcing externally and we're not giving it to ourselves, so we're making certain choices. So when you start becoming more curious, you're able to recognize why some of these things are happening. And to your point, healing isn't necessarily linear, right? Sometimes you're making progress and you'll take a few steps back, and I think a lot of people get discouraged in that frame because they're like, oh, I thought I would made all this progress and I'm back where I was. a month ago or whatever. But I think that's part of the learning, because then you can use those opportunities too to see why certain things are happening and perhaps start putting some patterns together around, okay, well, when I feel this way, this is how I act. And and how was it for you? It sounds like, yeah, there were times where you still took a few steps back. Yeah. And then decided to learn from those opportunities.
Well, so it's interesting this got brought up, because this past weekend, so I think this really goes into us being trained to be adults again. So we're not accepting of the steps back. But this weekend, there was these two kids at the beach, and you know, where the wave comes up and hits the sand, you can sit there and the water isn't always there, but it comes up, right? Mm-hmm. And then it washes everything away. These two kids were sitting there for 10 to 20 minutes digging a hole, and every couple minutes the water would come and wash it away. Did they give up? No, they just started digging a new hole. But it's that right there is a direct example of they would get 20 steps ahead and then 20 steps back, right? Like they would actually start to get a hole, and then here comes the wave, and then there it goes. But they didn't give up. They didn't see that as a time to hand in, you know, throw in the towel and quit. They just saw it as a challenge. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that vision of healing not being linear is something we learned. Mm-hmm. Right? Or not being linear, but needing it to be linear is something we learned. Like, it is not worthy if we are not continuously progressing in a forward momentum.
Right.
But in reality, what happens when you take, you know, two steps forward, 10 steps back, whatever it may be, it's providing you opportunity to use those new skills you've learned. Right? It's never the same. Even when you go steps back, you are not the same person who was there a year ago. So by no means is it really any step backwards. It's always forward momentum. It just looks different.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I like that example too.
Oh my gosh. And it was hilarious. I videoed them. I was like, this is amazing. And they weren't like 2 years old. They were maybe 6 or 7. So they still at that age held that belief.
Yeah.
Which was cool. Yeah,
for sure. And then there's that whole idea of wanting to get to a certain state quicker, right? Like, I want to get through this healing journey quick and be on the other side. And I think a lot of the times we end up attaching ourselves to a certain timeline or an outcome that may or may typically is outside our control, because we don't fully know a lot of the things that we haven't dealt with. And things continue to surface, right? As we go through this journey, there are so many things that perhaps we repressed or hidden from ourselves and that are not in our conscious awareness and tend to come up as we experience different things. That can also be discouraging for people, because they feel like, you know, they had this set timeline and they didn't achieve it. What do you do, or what do you tell people when they're going through that attachment with their own healing?
Yeah. So in reality, we're a diet culture, right? A quick fix diet culture, I think is what it's called here, where people want that instant gratification. I mean, for actual diet, there used to be pills that cause you to lose weight quickly. Yeah. Now people are taking shots to like drop weight at an immensely fast time. But that's what people want in their healing, period. Whether it's your physical, your internal, they want a quick fix. So that's not how it is. And I noticed time and time again, when you are seeking that quick fix, you are not actually ready. You are not actually ready to do the work to heal. That is a person who is still very, very stuck in a narrative that is very unhealthy and is not conducive to healing. So my clients, it's a 6-month minimum, because nothing happens overnight. But in 6 months, I can teach you the foundational skills to continue your journey on your own, right? This journey is lifelong. There is no end game. You can continuously heal and peel more onion layers back until the day you lay your body aside and you become enlightened. Mm-hmm. And many people won't be enlightened in this lifetime. So there's many more lifetimes to come. But it is your choice if you are willing to do that. And the healing journey is not the same for everyone, right? I don't think anyone has the same exact healing journey. There's the same fundamental principles, right? Which is forgiveness and love. But what that looks like is so different for everyone. And it's interesting that you bring this up as well, because I recently had a conversation and am realizing that we are walking personal development encyclopedias that no one has integrated crap. And I think it's another distraction. It's another diet pill. People think if they consume personal development at astronomical levels, that they'll miraculously be healed. When in fact, if you never pick up a personal development book, podcast, anything like that, starting today, and all you did was focus on hearing your own answers within, you would get much further that way than you ever will continuing to consume. Mm-hmm. It's consumption without integration. And that goes into this diet culture, this quick fix. But also what people are doing in that process is they're distracting themselves, right? You feel, oh, I listened to this Mel Robbins podcast and, you know, Brene Brown and all of that. And it was amazing. And I felt amazing. And I totally related. And then you're like, well, what did you integrate from it? Well, nothing. Like, it just, it's amazing. Well, because you're just using it as another smoke and mirrors from what's really going on within you that actually needs your attention, not taking in external personal development.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I hear you on that. And I think there's people making millions based on that because there's people seeking quick fixes. And I think to your point, no one's. And here's the thing, right? There's all these people who've done great things with their lives, but everyone's journey is different, right? And you're not going to get a quick fix from someone. You often have to go through it yourself to be able to integrate, to your point, a lot of the things, because all our experiences are unique. Our childhoods were unique, or some of the emotions we are struggling with are unique in that sense too. And you really have to bring those to your conscious awareness, but that requires a lot of work, as you said. And I often liken it to picking up any new hobby or even going to the gym to train your muscles. It doesn't happen overnight. Like, for some people, it takes years. And there's often, again, people there in those environments too that give up within a month because they don't see the results they sought out. And sometimes you're not going to get the results that you thought you would get. You might get different results. And you just have to be open to whatever comes up there. And that's part of it, right? You're so attached to this one outcome and you can dismiss everything. And I think that's part of life too, right? We feel like we're doing great things and we don't get rewarded in the way we thought, or we don't achieve the thing we thought. We lose sight of all of the amazing things that are perhaps happening around us just through making those conscious, deliberate efforts. And that to me is the biggest issue we see in society today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think it's truly because we're seeking salvation externally. And when I say salvation, I mean our happiness, our peace, our, you know, sense of self, all in external things, whether it's a person, place, or thing, right? I'm going to move to Paris. I'm going to feel better. I'm going to find the love of my life. I'm going to find happiness. I'm going to make $1 million. But in reality, you can only seek salvation within.
Yep.
So I feel like that's the problem. That's why everybody's always coming up disappointed, is because they believe that they're going to find all their answers outside of them. You know, that's why we've got human design and astrology. I mean, that's why people are making millions off of that. Because I could tell you, like, today, if you are an Aquarius, you will fall off a bridge. I mean, like, people are literally believing everything they read because they want someone to tell them who they are instead of asking them themselves. Because if they ask themselves, they would probably get some answers that they're not very happy about.
Yeah, actually, it's funny you said that, because I recently, just yesterday, came across this quote from Carl Jung. It was, the world will ask you who you are, and if you don't know, the world will tell you. So that's where a lot of people are falling, is in the latter.
I love that. And literally, people are making millions. Like, there's an astrology Instagram, and they have like 5 million followers, and you pay them $3.99 a month to get your report. And you know they've got millions of people doing that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And so we touched on the whole emotional aspect of healing, and we talked about the physical side. But there's, to me, I think there's a spiritual side to it too, whether you want to look at it from a mindfulness perspective. And to your point, as you were saying, salvation, finding that within yourself, but it's really getting to that and kind of bringing it full circle, as you mentioned, that inner child is really our higher self, and bridging that gap by looking inward, where I think a lot of people struggle to do that work. What are some things that you feel like there can be focus on when we're doing that healing work and trying to find connection to our higher self? And a lot of it is that being able to listen to our inner wisdom, our gut feelings, which we tend to ignore because of the way we've been brought up in society.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said it there. It's really, I want to go back to the forgiveness. The more we practice forgiveness at the level of the mind, the louder that voice gets, right? And I'm not saying like it turns into how loud the ego is and fear is, where that's like in your face, but it you start to hear it more. So maybe it doesn't get louder. Maybe you just listen better.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be. But that's really when you start to realize what's important here. Words literally cannot explain it.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because I believe that this illusion was created by the ego, and it doesn't want us to get out. So why would there be words to explain what's on the other side? Otherwise, we'd all be like, okay, we're leaving. Like, this sounds so much better. But
yeah.
So words can't really explain it, but it's everything we talked about today. It's about really getting back. Just listen. Just listen. Yeah. I mean, I challenged a client yesterday to an entire week of no more consumption of personal development, and she was so anxious. We ended up only agreeing to one day, but it just, we're consuming at levels that are so high. I would encourage the listener to just take a day and listen. Listen to you. Stop listening to anyone else and pay attention to what you're consuming.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I mean, I pay attention to anything I consume, physically, mentally, emotionally. And since I started doing that and got very careful on what I consume, because there's a place I'm headed, and why would I work my butt off to get somewhere and then consume something that's going to completely shift it? It's crazy how impactful watching a 30-minute television show can be based on what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And to your point, it's hard to explain that feeling, but there are things we do to block that voice, right? That voice of inner wisdom. And to your point, it's the things we're consuming, whether it's like junk food or watching porn or watching TV or even the music we listen to sometimes. You know, those are all things that are blocking that voice. And one of the things I realized that I would offer to people too is when you start listening to that voice, I think you start seeing things happening in front of you where you're like, oh, okay. And the more you start following that guidance, I think the path that you're trying to go on becomes more clearer and clearer. And that's kind of been my experience. And that's probably the best way I could explain it. But yeah,
I love that you say that, because it's really, my Patreon is Big Miracle Energy, and it's really based on that concept of when you start listening to your highest self, that's when miracles start occurring. And not like big, huge, like we save the world miracles, but the type of miracles where you can look back and be like, wow, that was a miraculous time in my life, because small things stacked up to completely shift the trajectory of your life. That's the type of miracles I'm talking about will be uncovered when you start listening to your highest self. It's not like, oh, randomly, you know, I get $1 million. And like you said earlier, when we were talking about healing, it may not look as though you had ever planned, right? But you have to trust. That's another big piece I don't think we really talked about. But trust is huge. You have to trust that your highest self can see the whole picture.
Right.
And knows far better than you what you are capable of, what your journey could look like, all of those things. And that is, trust is very hard for people. Very, very hard. But it's about trusting yourself. And the only way to do that is to work through that forgiveness and come to a place of, like you said at the very beginning of this podcast, unconditional love.
Yeah. And
then
I think
you can start unlocking those miracles.
For sure. And I think the idea with trust, there's also an aspect of blind faith that is required, because you're stepping into something that you don't know what's going to happen. But I think that's where a lot of people struggle, because in today's society, we have so much certainty around everything. We want something, Amazon will deliver it same day, right? We know that. And anytime there's any type of uncertainty, that creates anxiety for us, because we've lost this aspect of trust, as you mentioned. And coming back to the whole aspect of inner child, you need to go back to that childlike state and have that exploratory need, right? Children, to your point, they'll often go explore, not knowing where they're going to end up. And we all need to start doing that to really get into that, tap into that inner child again, and be able to live our life with purpose, truly.
Yeah. And if you like haven't spent time with a child in forever, I encourage you to like go to a park, or, you know, not like creepily, but just really remember what it's like to see the world through a child's eyes. And it's so beautiful. Like, literally, I mean, it's so beautiful to live at that state of curiosity. They say curiosity killed the cat. I'm like, no, it didn't. Curiosity saved the cat. They just want us to believe that it killed the cat, so we don't ask questions. But ask questions, get curious, explore, go on adventures, really get intentional around your awareness. And the only way to do that is to get curious. Otherwise, you've pigeonholed yourself into one belief and you're not opening your eyes to other possibilities. And I think you said earlier in the call, then you miss all the beauty that's laying out here because you're so laser focused on this.
Yeah.
Instead of, oh, wow.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I agree with you. Ashley, thank you for doing this again. I really enjoyed the conversation. I appreciate you again coming on here and sharing your own experiences and getting very vulnerable. So that's very much appreciated. For listeners that do want to find you, whether it's online or your social media, what are some ways they can do that?
Yeah. First of all, thank you so much for having me. It's been an amazing conversation. I had mentioned my Patreon. That is Be Me, Patreon, Big Miracle Energy. So just Google Big Miracle Energy, or, find me on Instagram at Ash_Abramson. And yeah, let's connect. Soon my website will be up, and that's bigmiracleenergy.com. So essentially, if you just Google Big Miracle Energy, you'll find me somewhere. And I love conversations. If you have differing opinions or whatever may be, I think, like we've talked about, curiosity is huge for me, and I can only be curious if I'm willing to hear other sides of the coin. So love discussions, reach out.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, because I think, you know, one of the things I like to highlight sometimes on the podcast, but we don't have all the answers, right? Like, we're just all figuring it out. And I'm hoping through conversations like this, we can learn, and others can learn too. And it gives people at least the ability to have more of these conversations. I feel like we shy away from these, and because we're so afraid and so attached to our opinions, but there's so much you can discover through dialogue like this. So I appreciate that very much.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite quote in the basis of every day of my life is Ram Dass. We're all just walking each other home. No one is above anyone else or below anyone else. We're just figuring out together. And I appreciate you having these conversations because you're giving permission. You're giving permission to others to get vulnerable, get honest, and just share what they believe. And it be okay that not everybody believes that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there might be little pieces of something that you may align with. And even that to me is good. Right. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, thank you again, Ashley. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you again for checking out this episode with Ashley. As always, please leave a review or a comment in the comment section. I always love hearing from you. Or subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so. Thank you, and until next week.